Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Saturday, January the 10th, in the year of our Lord 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Thank you so much for joining today, not just joining me, but joining many, many other sowers across the nation and the world who are waking up to wisdom this January, and who are going out and hitting the fields to sow for a great awakening. Let's begin this Saturday. As always, it's Coon Supper Day here in Gillette, Arkansas. That's a big day. They have the Gillette Annual Coon Supper, and this is probably 82 or 83, I think. But I'll be all part of that, of course, for sure. But let's start off this day in consecration. So, word of God coming your way. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's entry is entitled A Lesson in Wisdom from Chick-fil-A on the Power of Words. Our text today is Proverbs chapter 10. You're going to read the whole chapter. We're going to focus in on a good swath of it here, verses 11 through 21, about 10 verses. So hear now the word of the Lord. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of one who has no sense. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Today we see another major theme of the rest of Proverbs: the power of the tongue and the potency of words. Verse 11 says it beautifully. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Our words may be the greatest power we possess. What holds more power than the word of God? To be created in God's image means, in some sense, our words are imbued with great power. Our words can create or they can destroy. It brings to mind a text I first worked with a lot when I was a youth pastor. It's Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit all who listen. Unwholesome talk tears people down, whether it is directed at them or not. Gossip tears people down, even if it seems satisfying at the moment. Sarcasm tears people down. Negativity tears people down. The New Testament writer James has quite a bit to say about the power of the tongue and the potency of words. Consider this example from James 1:26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Words of encouragement build people up. Words of affirmation and blessing build people up. Calling people by their name builds people up. Our words can create a context of life or an environment of death. Our every word matters. At most restaurants, when an employee serves you in some way and you thank them, they typically say something like, "No problem." Really? What does that mean? Are you saying it was not a problem to do your job? And those two words are not even great words. No and problem are both less than stellar words. In contrast, consider Chick-fil-A. When you say thank you for an act of service there, you know what they say back? My pleasure. Those two little words brighten up the room. Every time they say it, and they say it a lot, it reinforces to the customer that service is a pleasure. Every time they say it, it reinforces to the employee that service is a privilege. Words create worlds. So the question, how can we extrapolate this little example in 20 other situations in our everyday lives? I know McDonald's is listening out there. I have to say, I love McDonald's too. But Chick-fil-A is winning on the greeting war. All right, John Snowberger, that was for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the wisdom of heaven on earth. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You are my wisdom, and I am your witness. I want to know you better today. And I'm praying in your name. Amen. The journal prompts today, what is your level of awareness of the power of your words? Are you care-filled when it comes to your words? Or do you tend to be careless? I want you to think about that and journal about that today. The Bible also often will speak about idle speech and taking care to not participate in just idle words. Well, that's probably a good place to leave it today there before we turn to singing some good words together. And my empty chair signifies to you we're going to have a special guest coming to help us. All right. Well, We got a good song for Saturday today, Dad. Tell them what it is.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
And what number is it?
It's number one.
This, friends, if it's a Methodist hymnal, this will be the number one song.
What a way to start a hymn book. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
And, you know, even the title of our hymnal was taken from this hymn, Our Great Redeemer's Praise.
Amen.
And it's interesting. This hymn, of course, was written by Charles Wesley, and he wrote it to celebrate his own awakening and becoming a Christian.
Is that right?
He sure did.
What a story.
When he wrote it, you know how many verses he had? 18. 18 verses. Now, we have included half of them in our hymnal, and today, Dad and I are going to sing 7 of them. They're short, but it's one of the classic hymn tunes called Asmon. We're going to sing all 7 verses together. Are you ready to sing with us, guys? And the whole point of this, it was a great quote by one of the teachers of that time, Peter Bowler. He said, "If I had 1,000 tongues, I would praise God with every one of them." That's where the hymn came from.
For
1,000 tongues. If I had 1,000 tongues, that's what I would use them all to praise God.
What a message that is right there.
So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing, I great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread to all the earth and broad the honors of Thy hand. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows freeze, is music in the sinner's ear, that life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoners free. His blood to make the violent man, His blood availed for me.
Number 5.
He speaks and listening to His voice, new life the dead receive. The
broken hearts rejoice, the humble
believe.
Number 6.
Hear Him, ye devils, His praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye lies, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy.
Last verse.
In Christ your head you then shall know, shall feel your sins forgiven. Anticipate your heaven below, and on that love is heaven.
Amen. That last line there, anticipate your heaven below. He's saying, while you're alive on this earth,
anticipate
start
heaven.
Looking forward to heaven, right?
That sounds like a winner.
And look forward to heaven. John Wesley famously, as he was dying, his last words, I believe if I got this right, he said, "The best is yet to come."
That puts goosebumps on you.
The best is yet to come.
Now, you're talking about a Christian.
Yeah.
That is a Christian in and out.
You know, you don't need to be afraid to die. Nobody wants to die. What's the old song that says, everybody wants to go to heaven?
But nobody wants to die.
Was that Johnny Cash? But nobody wants to die. And of course, you know,
yeah, that's...
who wants to die? People, you know, used to love to tell the story of the old church and preachers. He said they were having a revival, and the revivalist stood up there, and he said, everybody that wants to go to heaven, stand up. Said the whole church stood up except one old man on the front row. And the people said, the preacher looked at the old man. He said, don't you want to go to heaven? And the old man said, yeah, I want to go to heaven.
Not now.
Just not on the first load. He said, just not on the first load.
They got to get that route worked out.
Well, here's the thing, guys. I know a lot of you all, you've recently lost a husband or a wife, or somebody's gone on ahead of you and you're missing them. But you know what? You can know that they are more alive now than they were then, than you are now, because they're fully alive and they're fully in the presence of God.
No more dying.
No more dying. And you know what? The other thing you can know, this is something I'm kind of learning and my faith is growing in. They're closer now than you think.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're gone and way off?
Mm-mm.
No. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
That's right.
It's like heaven, I don't think of heaven as being up. It's right through. There's a thin veil from the seen to the unseen.
That...
And I just have a sense that Peepaw and Meemaw and Uncle Martin and that they're close and that they're almost cheering us on.
Yeah, I know they are.
I think they're praying for us.
I know they got together.
I think they're praying for us. And so it's just so good to visualize that and to know that's coming.
Yeah, that's the plus in dying.
That's the plus. That's the bonus.
Yeah.
You get Jesus in life and you get Jesus in death and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good place to leave it on this Saturday. Listen, we're looking forward to seeing you on the field today for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.